I'm never going to get tired of that music. That's phenomenal. Like, I need a black and white t-shirt and play an air guitar and a championship belt coming down the aisle when I hear that music every time. All right. So I was listening to Auburn softball over the weekend, and I heard what sounded like the hardest hit, longest home run maybe in the history of the ballpark. Yeah, I don't. That's not literal, but it sure sounded like it because of how it sounded off the bat and then the call, and it hit off the top of the scoreboard, and it was a monster home run. You guys have seen and or played a lot of baseball. What is the hardest hit ball or the most impressive home run that you have seen or hit in person?
Sonny?
I think this past year in AAA, we were playing against Las Vegas in Esteri Ruiz. I don't know if anybody's seen the Las Vegas field, but in left field, they have a huge Las Vegas sign. Like, it's it takes up from left field all the way to center field. And he went over the top of that. And, you know, in Vegas, they have on their scoreboard that each, you know, ball hit, it was like the exit velo and the feet. And I don't remember the exit velo, but I just remember seeing 504 on the bottom of that screen. And I just was kind of like, oh my goodness gracious. Obviously the ball flies out there, but that's the farthest one for sure.
Yeah. No, you'll remember that one for sure.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
I remember Braves versus Pirates, and O'Neill Cruz ripped a ball 122, but he hit it so hard that he only got a single. Like, it went off the wall. It was close to being a homer, like in the left field corner, but it came off the wall so quickly that Ronald was right there, scooped it up, fired into second. And I'm like, you hit a ball 122 miles an hour. You think it's going to be something better than a single?
Yeah.
It was a line drive, and it just didn't get enough carry to get out of the ballpark. And that has to be the most frustrating play you could ever, like the most frustrating single in baseball history, right?
Seriously.
All right, well, y'all brought stats. I mean, y'all got exit velos and stuff like that. Mine's purely feel. I'm sure there have been others that have. I mean, Sonny, I probably called some of yours that had greater exit velo. But Auburn was playing Florida A&M like 8 or 9 years ago. And Daniel Robert hit a home run to deep right center. It would have cleared where the students are now and then some. But the second it was one of those where you just get this like guttural, visceral, natural reaction, and you just stop what you're doing. He hit the ball, and in the middle of the call, you go like, oh, and like, that's your call because he just hit it so hard. And it stood out. It made a memory. So what's it like to catch one like that, Sonny, where like you just, as you're swinging, you're like, why hit the mess out of that one?
Yeah. It's like, I had a couple of that at Auburn. Like, I hit, at LSU, we were playing on Sunday, and I just went dead center off their batter's eye. And like, as soon as you hit them, it's like, you take that one step out of the box. You're just like, yeah, I'm just done. I'm done running. Just start the easy jog there. Cause it's just a hard feeling to explain.
Yeah.
But you just know when you do it.
Well, we're talking about those things because they left an impression on the pitchers too. And we figured that was a really good way to get into the pitching preview for this 2025 season. And Lindsay, I'm pretty optimistic. I mean, there's some unknowns here, but I feel like because of all the guys who had to get innings last year, you come in with a lot of depth on this pitching stat. Like, there's not a lot of proven depth there. Not a lot. There's some. There's just not a lot. But there is depth. You feel good about the arms and the stuff that these guys bring.
Yeah. What I like about this roster is, in essence, everybody had to do it last year. Everybody had to wear it, which I think obviously is not – you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
But you just got so much experience for so many guys that maybe wouldn't necessarily have gotten that much play time had everything gone according to plan. And you mentioned this, I think it was last week, about the parallels to, you know, the 21 and 22 team, where your pitchers had to come out there really early and get a lot of experience early, and they got beat up early, but then it turned around the next season and they were able to carry Sonny to a college World Series appearance. And that's I'm not predicting that right now. I think it's possible, but I get those same vibes. A lot of those guys, thinking about a Cam Tilly, guys like that, a lot of experience in year one, and you're going to see them take that leap in year two. And then you supplemented, I think, really well with transfers and veterans coming in to reinforce the areas where you thought you were deficient, right? You've seen a little bit of this over the fall and spring, Sonny. How do you feel about the addition of Cade Fisher from Florida, like bringing in a veteran lefty to really kind of anchor the rotation? I mean, that's who I expect to start opening day. It's Cade Fisher. What have you seen from him, I feel like, this winter?
I mean, it's not even really just this winter. I've watched Fisher throw over the past few years in college, and it's good to know and good to have that Friday guy, like that number one who you can look at and like, all right, I know he's going to go out there and compete. And it's kind of like, that's kind of what they've been missing the past couple of years, in my opinion, is that for sure guy to go out there and to just, you give him the rock and you know it's going to be a good day, a good game. Like in 22, we had just about the same rotation for the whole year. You know, obviously Mullins got hurt there in between. And so we were kind of looking for another one, but like Joseph was our guy. He was our Sunday guy. He gave us the best chance every Sunday. And if you have like that one for sure guy, like, you know, when he's going out there that you have a better chance to win than not, that just kind of sets the tone for the weekend, especially when you get into conference play.
Yeah. And I think that before we even start breaking down the other guys on this year's team, I think you look back at most College World Series teams and you're going to find consistency, both in performance and in health, availability of those pitchers. That 22 staff, Joseph had 14 starts. Mason Barnett had 14 starts. Trey Sprite had 17 starts. I mean, those guys were consistent. They were available, and they were out there, you know, not every weekend, but almost every weekend in a consistent role. The 2019 team, similar type of setup. Jack Owen had 10 starts, Tanner Burns 15 starts, and they only had a couple of guys with double digit starts. But when you have at least two that are consistently available for you and they're pitching consistently enough to be in the starting rotation every weekend, you got a team that's going to win series. And if you win series, and you got a chance to do things in the postseason. So again, I think Auburn has those guys. We just haven't seen them perform yet at this level. Cade Fisher, you know, 6'4" and a lefty, good, you know, great momentum, good stuff. Didn't lose a game as a freshman at Florida. Numbers fell off a little bit last year, but we've talked in other episodes. He's one of a couple of freshman All-Americans that, you know, Auburn is hoping get back to their freshman form or advance beyond that this year.
Yeah, and I do think some of the changes he made, what I like is that it wasn't just enough for him to transfer out of, you know, out of Florida and like and come here and do what he did. He got better, right? He added a cutter, which that's one of the, I think we talked about this in maybe the preview, the first episode. That's a good lefty on lefty thing there, kind of adjusting for some of the weaknesses. You'll notice a trend. A lot of these guys have added cutters. Shout out Blake Burkhalter. A few of them have name dropped him as a guy who's helped with that. We obviously have a tradition of that, Tim Hudson being here and everything. So, yeah, I expect him to be Friday night. I'm still not 100% sold on exactly what he's going to be, right? Maybe I'm a little bit biased from watching some of that film from last year. At the same time, I think I can, a lot of the MLB draft fans will kind of agree with me that Florida's never really been known in the last 5-6 years as being a team that's very good at developing pitchers. So many of their arms, when they get to the majors, they're changing what they're doing. They're changing their whole arsenals. So maybe this is something. He was like a sinker slider change guy at Florida. He's throwing more four seamer now. He has this cutter. Maybe this is what he needed to kind of hit that level of consistency. Cause I think that's, to Brad's point, I think that's kind of what you need for the rest of the lineup to settle. And I feel like that's kind of what we've been missing like last year. We just didn't have that guy at the top who could set the tone for everybody else, where, you know, no matter what, we've got this one start this weekend covered every single week.
Yeah. It's the same thing with the lineup too. You know, being able to have the consistency, like, because if you got 9 guys, 10 guys you can depend on, that's huge. because the pitching staff can be like, all right, I know these nine guys are going to go out there, so I can kind of do my job as well. And that's what the first 4 weeks are for before conference, to figure out who your nine are going to be and obviously who your Friday, Saturday, Sunday are going to be.
Well, I was going to move on to the next, like beyond.
Okay, yeah.
If you look beyond Cade, I mean, I think you know, if you look at some previews that are out there, and Samuel Dutton's name is being mentioned, the transfer from LSU, started a handful of games. I'm a little surprised, quite frankly, to see him right there in the mix on opening weekend. What have you guys seen from Sam Dutton from Southside Alabama?
Dude just throws strikes, man. He throws a lot of strikes, and that's what, you know, if you're just a guy up there throwing strikes, you're going to have good days. You're also going to have bad days. You know, there's such thing as being in the zone too much, but I think Dutton's going to be a guy they're going to really rely on to hold that spot down and just always give them something competitive every weekend. You know, whether he goes out and throws four and gives up five, which is a good day, or he goes out and throws eight on 80 pitches and gives up one. You know, it's just a matter of his strike throwing and his command that's really going to help out.
The only reason, I said that I was a little surprised is just because over the last 2 years, I think he's only started four games or five games out of the last 39 over the last 2 years in which he's played. So mostly relief, and it will be exciting to see him take on a starting role.
Yeah. And something that I kind of picked up on over fall and then again so far in spring is they really seem to be focusing on those guys who can throw strikes and just cutting down the walks. I know Butch always talks about the free passes and not giving that up. And I do think the thing, when you go back and you look at what he did at LSU the last three seasons, I want to say it was a combined, it's like 86 career innings in college, 25 walks, right? So he's just not walking a lot of guys. And while the strikeouts haven't been absurd, like it's less than a strikeout an inning, while he's there, the walks aren't there. And because of that, that to me, just having watched a lot of these guys, that kind of feels like the differentiator is I would rather you give up a single than walk a guy. Because if you give up a batted ball, we have a chance to make a play. We've talked on here about how good the defense is. And when I watch Sam Dutton, to Sonny's point, I feel like he's just pounding the zone every single at bat. And as long as you're not leaving hittable pitches over the heart of the plate, just with this defense, your job is just throw strikes. If you can do enough of that, it feels like you absolutely have a chance. My big question is, that's two upperclassmen, both transfers in, obviously. Who's that third guy? Because, you know, I've been really high on Cam Tilley. We've talked about him a couple times now. Christian Chatterton is who I believe is going to be the Sunday starter this week. And one of the highest profile pitchers you've gotten on campus out of, you know, got him through the draft and got him to campus in the last few years, is a freshman ready? It was four starts enough to get him ready for SEC play, or will you have to make a change at that spot in a couple of weeks? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question. You've also got Connor McBride, who started seven games last year. Carson Myers, who started eight games last year. Yeah. Those are guys who, you know, do they fall into a midweek starting role, or are you using them as, like, Carson became a really sturdy anchor in the middle of a weekend game when you were in a stretch where your starters weren't getting very deep into games, and so you thought you might need him as the first guy out of the bullpen. So, that's one of the big questions I have for opening weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Myers, I think it was it Mississippi State last year where he went out there, and it was like one run in six innings, striking out by a guy an inning. He did some relief stuff. He did some starting stuff, but one of the better ERAs among the qualifiers. Is that enough? Like, you cited Cam Tilley's stats last week. Is that enough for him to take the leap into a full-time starter this season, or is his best role, to your point, kind of that swing man to save a struggling starter out of the pen and give you some length, and then turn around if you need somebody to step up and take a start the next weekend? He can do that. Like, Sonny, those guys that just kind of always seem to be those clutch performers when you're struggling, how much are they appreciated in the clubhouse by, I mean, the position players, you know, the defensive players, when you get a guy like that you can ask to do anything and he'll do it at an above average level?
Yeah, that like really puts a hammer in the nail on how much the offense loves the pitchers that do that. Like, if you're a guy who can go out and shut it, go three innings, shut out a game, or shut down a game from the seventh on, you know, that's just as important as when you got to come in the second or third inning and throw three or four innings just to keep the game in check, because your starter's not going to go out there every time and give you five. That's just not and never going to happen. And nowadays, starters go even shorter than what they used to. And so to be able to have those mid-relief guys, like we had a Skipper, we had a Tommy Sheehan, and we had a couple other guys who were filling those gaps to where we got to our anchor, which was Berkey. Burkhalter was the guy that I think just kind of getting into the back end of the bullpen. That's who I think Hayden Murphy has to be. That's what they have to have, is somebody that can come in for that ninth and come in for that eighth and ninth and just go doors and not have anybody, you know, not have anybody really test it.
I was going to mention Sheehan and Skipper by name. Those lefties out of the bullpen, especially following a right-handed starter. And that year with three right-handed starters, Sonny, in your year in 22, having those guys come in out of the bullpen just to give you a totally different look, they were super effective. I know Tommy struggled in the first start of the year, who's his first pitching like in a year after surgery, but settled into a really solid role out of the bullpen, and Skipper was just solid. You got to have those lefties. Those long relief lefties out of the bullpen can give you three innings if you need them. Invaluable.
Yeah, it's to be able to have like just say that's what Meyer's role turns into.
Yeah,
that's just as important as being a Sunday guy or a Saturday guy. Like, seriously, because it just to know, like, dang, if that starter, he has a tough start, you know, just to know you see Meyer's come out or like a Parker Carlson come out to give you 2, 3, 4 innings, and you know it's going to be a competitive 2, 3, 4 innings, that just kind of lets the offense settle in a little bit and not worry as much.
That could be a role Jackson Sanders slides into the freshman from Opelika, good size, 6'3", lefty. You could see him use that same kind of way.
I think this weekend and then the two midweeks that they have is that's just going to kind of be like, all right, let's see what you guys got for the staff-wise and the hitters-wise too. Like, I think this team has a good problem of having too many guys who can compete and they're ready to go, in my opinion. So, and it's hard on the coaches, but that is a really, really good problem to have.
I do want to get to that midweek real quick. Can we back up to Burkhalter? Because I've wanted to ask Sonny this for a little while. In that 22 season, obviously he was fantastic, got taken high in the draft. What was more impressive in the clubhouse? The Middle Tennessee doubleheader where he pitched three innings in the same day, or the South Carolina weekend where he closed all three games in the weekend?
The times when Berkey, like when he would go, they'll stack those days up and just be like, man, you're not human. Like, to go out there like three, especially Middle Tennessee, they saw him twice in one day. And then South Carolina, they saw him three straight times, like three straight days. And he was that good three straight days in a row of, you know, throwing his little cutter, changeup, fastball mix. And Berkey was supposed to come up and throw live at bats this past week. And, or not, sorry, 2 weeks ago, and it got canceled. And I texted him this week if he was coming. He said no. And I said, thank goodness. So I wasn't looking forward to facing him. But he
on the note of that South Carolina weekend, he allowed one hit in all three of those outings, and it was the final day.
Yeah.
No, and he was still shaking like he'd had six cups of coffee 10 minutes after the game was over, too. Man, his adrenaline in those spots. You got to be wired a special kind of way to be, I don't mean just a closer, I mean an elite closer.
Yeah.
I'm talking about to close those series in some of those ballparks and some of those environments, home or on the road, with that kind of pressure. You got to have a different level of competitiveness to you.
Same way Greenhill was when Greenhill was a closer. Same thing. He come out, he had a straight face, you know, whenever I was facing him, you just knew it was over when he stepped up there. And so that's what you have to have, like, seriously. I think Hayden Murphy's got a little bit of that like just straight faced, just I'm going to do whatever it takes right here. And that's what you need.
Again, with the professional segues from Sonny DeShera, I did want to talk about the bullpen, and that was kind of where I wanted to go. It looks like Hayden Murphy's going to be the closer. Another guy added a cutter. He was in the Cape Cod League this summer. Looked really good. 28 strikeouts to like six walks in 18 innings. He actually said he got on the phone with Berkey about the cutter, and they didn't talk grips. They didn't talk arm action. It was all when to use it, how to sequence it. but it's going to be a power profile, right? He's kind of getting rid of some of the breaking stuff. Fastball cutter is going to be the majority of what he does. Sonny, at the end of the game, you've been out there 7-8 innings. It's the last game of a weekend. You're hot. You're tired. You have a dude coming out and just throwing nothing but power pitches. It can be a little bit demoralizing, I'm guessing, to be like, now I got to try to hit this guy at the end of this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, especially now. I mean, we play 6 days a week in the minor leagues, and just about every dude that rolls out, if the other team has a small lead, it's like Berkey. And so it's just kind of like, it's really hard to, especially the SEC games, man. You're like, man, we have to do whatever we got to do right here. And so just to have that consistent guy who's coming out and just see the other team just kind of like, oh, all right, here we go. We're seeing this guy for the second time this week. You know, like, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to hit him? And that's just the importance of having that closer. Like, it really is.
Who do you think's the secondary closer? Who do you think if Hayden's gone on Friday and he had to go, say, an inning and a third, and you don't want to bring him back on Saturday, it's less than 24 hours later, who do you think's closing the second game?
And that's also important, too, because you're right. Murphy's not going to be able to close every game.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be interesting to see. You know, hopefully these games this weekend, we'll be able to tell something. And even on the midweeks, just hopefully there's some close games in there where we don't have to use Murphy and we get to see somebody else. And that's a good thing to have to figure out. You know, yeah. If you have two guys who can come in and shut it down, that's over the top. Because that's kind of what Skipper turned into as well. Mm-hmm. When Carson Skipper, like when Berkey was tired, it was like, all right, Skip, take the ball, let's go. And he'd finish it out. He'd go 3 or 4 and finish it out.
From a usage and a kind of a experience thing, Parker Carlson strikes me as a guy that they might go to and say, hey, we need 3 outs, mm-hmm. right? Hayden's not up. We've already used John to put out a fire in the 6th. I think John Armstrong is going to stick into fireman role. I love.
Yeah.
Sonny, I want to ask you about that sidearm action in a minute. But like Parker Carlson to me feels like that dude that it's the mentality feels like it's there. The stuff is good enough. And if for some reason Hayden was unavailable on a longer term thing, I feel like Parker's probably the guy who's going to get a shot to do that. But he just feels like your backup closer to me. And then a primary setup man outside of that. Am I kind of off base there? Or does that make sense?
That's like, he's got the most experience in this staff. That's gotta be correct, right? He's one of the only seniors out there. And so I think his experience and he's pretty good with sticking to his plan, what he's learned over the past couple of years now, and he really believes in his plan. And so, and they believe in him too. He's one of the leaders, and he's going to be that guy who's going to go out there whenever you got your Murph down or he's your long relief guy. I think he's going to be like maybe a Carson Myers who can do whatever and just kind of fill in where they need him.
It's college. Every back end reliever can go 2 or 3 if you need to. We see it happen every year. I remember Berkey going multiple innings a couple times. UCLA in the regionals.
He went 3 in the super. In the game 3 of the super, he went 3.
There you go. Yep. On the note of John Armstrong, though, how did you ever get to do live ABs against him? Like, how tough is that sidearm action?
I think I faced Johnny like 10 times that fall and the spring. But, I mean, I'm a different type of hitter. I like seeing the submarine guys because I like a sinker ball guy. Mm-hmm. And so I just have a different approach to it. But like watching Johnny now from what he was, I think he's the fireman position for John too. Just his personality and the type of guy he is. I think it all just kind of fits in. But he's definitely not a fun at bat. You gotta be hunting for one pitch. And most guys, they see him throwing underhand and they see it might be a little bit slower, so they're gonna try to drop the head and hit home runs. And you just can't do that off a guy like John. And John takes advantage of that. He's funky. Yeah. He changes his time to the plates.
Quick pitching.
He's working. Yeah. He's working on new pitches every week. He's always thinking the game. And so that's a dangerous guy to want to face.
He's a mad scientist. I remember his freshman year, Sonny, it was in Arlington. It was either after the Oklahoma game or the Texas Tech game. I don't remember which. It was one of the first two. And Coach Thompson looked at John and said, John, you may pitch in 100 ball games before you leave Auburn. And he's been Mr. Dependable. Yeah. Yeah. So,
you know, he's like, he's not going to go out there every time and have his stuff, but to be able to do what he does, I mean, that dude don't care. He'll go out and pitch in every game of the week if he had to.
Yeah, he's wired a little differently too.
Yeah. He's a good dude. Good kid.
At Auburn, he is at 60 career appearances, 89 in the third innings.
Yeah.
In his 3-year career at Auburn. Yeah, he's put up 30-plus innings the last two seasons.
Might see 100.
I'll tell you another right-hander who I really liked last year in limited roles. Now, he didn't look, his stats weren't great. All right. Mm-hmm. But Alex Petrovic at 6'4", sturdy, strong. I think there's a lot of raw talent there. And if they can, you know, if he moves into the area where he's not just throwing hard, but he's pitching with the power that he has the ability to possess, I think he can become a weapon out of that bullpen, whether it's for an out or an inning. I really like his build and what we saw just from his raw stuff last year.
I think it was UAB where he pitched like an inning and a third scoreless.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, just looked really good there. And I remember in April, it felt like they used him just about every weekend. Right, he pitched against Tennessee, pitched against Kentucky. I think he pitched against A&M to end March. That was one of those situations where he got a lot of run early, and then I think he kind of went in the garage and didn't really get a lot of work after that. But one of those, that's the profile of the guy that's the surprise. You take that surprise leap in their second year, and you have no idea it's coming. Unfortunately, I haven't seen him throw at all in the fall or spring. Not on him, that's on me. He's done it. I just haven't been there to see it. But that's the profile, like I said, of a guy that could end up being huge for us, and we just have no idea until you run him out there on a Saturday and he goes mows five dudes down in two scoreless innings.
So, yeah. I mean, that's...
I know he's battled some, you know, injury here and there, but you are exactly... He looks like a refrigerator. That dude is huge. Like every time I walk out there, I'm saying, my gosh, he looks like a horse. So, he's just so strong, man.
There are some guys who are 6'4", and you go, really? He's 6'4"? He's every bit of it.
He's like, is he only 6'4"?
Right.
Yeah. No, that's you're exactly right. There's going to have to be those three or four guys that step up that you have no idea they're going to step up. And they just have to be there. Without that, it's going to be a long year. Mm-hmm. And so, but every good team has those guys that just – come out of nowhere, and you have to have it.
He's new to the roster, but somebody that I've seen a little bit in fall and spring, and I feel like I've heard good things. Andreas Alvarez, the true freshman, he kind of gets lost in the freshman conversation because, you know, there's so many bigger profile freshmen, but I feel like with Connor Gatwood's non-throwing hand injury, he's going to miss a little bit of the time. Alvarez is one of those candidates to get some midweek starts and be a potential option in his freshman year. Maybe not against Troy on Tuesday. They are a ranked team. Like, I think Troy next week is probably your Cam Tilly start. But he's a guy that could just come out of nowhere. Shorter stature, right? He's like 5'10". But that's kind of a little bit in vogue right now on the four-seam guys because it's such a flat angle to the plate. It looks like it's rising, like a rise ball, hard to pick up. I feel like he's a guy that could surprise us out of a freshman class that you kind of have a lot of big names you expect to see. He might be a guy that's been under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, but like that could be your guy who has to step up. Like, because he obviously, as much as you would want all your top name guys to be so good, like it's not realistic. You know, it's never going to happen. As much as it should happen, it's just not going to. So that's where those dark horse guys got to just kind of show up and just be there. And Alvarez, I've heard good things about that. Like that, those short guys throwing those right. And he's not even short. He's 5'10", but like throwing those true four seams. That's that's become more of a thing. And I see it a lot in pro ball too. Like when you got those guys who are under 6 foot throwing those true four seam fastballs, living at the belt, those are really, really just hard to hit. Like you said, it looks like it's rising. So, and that is just a different look of what this staff has. And so, like you said, there's going to have to be someone that steps up, and I hope it's him. I like what he has.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add to there. He's a guy that I'm waiting to see and looking forward to seeing in person when we do get to see him. And who knows? Look, not just one midweek next week, but two midweeks. So you're talking about 5 games in 6 days and 8 games in, what, 10 days or something. I don't know. I don't
10, 11, I can't do math either, but it's something right like there. That. Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of games and not a lot of – it's more of a minor league schedule than it is a college baseball schedule the first week of the season.
Seriously.
Quick note I just noticed. Holy Cross only has two lefties listed on their entire roster, which is just kind of surprising to me. It's like, Sonny, when you guys see that in your kind of game planning for the upcoming week, I guess really the question would be, how much on something like the first weekend of the year are you game planning off of the opponent? And are you just trying to make sure that you're right with yourself? But like when you see they only have two lefties, do you breathe a little easier? Do you say, okay, it's kind of the same plan here? Or is this all really just about yourself anyway, that first weekend and not who you're facing?
Those left-handed hitters get excited, I tell you that.
Yeah, that's no. I was just about to say lefties. I don't know. They're probably thinking it's their birthday or something. But no, it's more about that. Thankfully, with Gabe, it's more about like with these first few weeks is finding guys who don't care who they're facing and like don't care who's on the mound. Now, Gabe's going to be very prepared. He's going to tell you everything the guy's got, but he wants to look at a hitter and tell him like, hey man, this guy's got fastball, slider, curveball, changeup, and the hitter goes okay. And just kind of moves on with it. And so that's kind of what he's looking for there. And hopefully that's what the hitters are too. Like that's the same thing with me. I just want to know what he has, what pitch, and like how hard does he throw? And that's it. I don't want you to tell me, oh, he's here in this count. This is his zone and that zone. And when hitters start getting into that stuff, more power to the guys that can hit and be successful doing that. But I'm not one of those. So it's more about worrying, how are my guys going to react when, it's their first time facing somebody else. Obviously the fall doesn't count in my, it's just not the same because it actually matters now every game.
Well said. So that's this is Barn Baseball Show, obviously for Tuesday, February 11th. We're back later this week. Surprise interview. Well, we'll be dropping that either Thursday night, Friday morning, depends on what time we get that. In the meantime, do us a favor, thebarnauburn.com. Sign up now, $25 off annual subscription. Also, if you have any questions for the three of us, let us know on social media, thebarn_Auburn. You can leave them in the Barn message board. That's the best place to get them. We'll do our best to answer them on the next episode. Until next time, for Sonny, for Brad, I'm Lindsay, and this has been the Barn Baseball Show.